Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Now, we have our next guest in the studio with us. We've got Brendan Cooney, who is the Midsummer Festival Program Manager.
Midsummer? What's Midsummer? I've never heard of that.
It's this little festival that keeps popping up every year. Welcome to the show, Brendan.
Thanks very much. We're all in our 30s now, aren't we?
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
I'm still only 25, though.
Now, Brendan, you're the Midsummer Festival Hall Program Manager. Now, we've obviously talked to you a few times, but just for our listeners who aren't aware of who are you and what are you doing
Why
in this job,
basically? Why did you get this role?
Yeah, exactly.
Why didn't they give it to you?
I was a Melbourne resident for the 90s, ran a nightclub called Baseline down at the Palace, which is no longer there. I did a back to uni after that, actually, when I was about 45, did tech production for theatre. So since then, I've been working on major festivals, landed back in Melbourne just before COVID, and Midsummer reached out to see if I wanted a short-term role that turned into the program manager role, and this is my third festival.
Right, okay. Now, program manager role, because, you know, like with Midsummer, you can actually approach Midsummer and become part of it regardless. But you also program stuff as well for
Absolutely.
It,
yeah, we have about, well, I was in here touting how big the festival was last year. We had over 200 events. This year we've got around 240.
Wow.
The good news from last year was people did back me up. We had 50% increase in revenues back to
Fantastic.
Producers and artists in 1 year. So, yes, two parts of our program. One is an open access where people can join it. Queer artists can come and tell their stories. The other one is that we curate a slightly smaller program. It's not that small. It's about 40 different.
Oh, really? That many?
It wow. includes our major events as well.
Oh,
of
okay.
course, the Carnival,
Pride
March and those sorts of things. But there's probably around 30 different shows there of all genres that really come together under our theme this year of a braver space. And if you remember last year, it was a safe space, lots going on in our communities, and a lot of bravery that we saw over the last couple of years of people continuing to stand up and tell their stories
yep.
in light of backlash and adversity. So we've got a beautiful suite of events of
yeah.
some very brave people, either in terms of what they're producing or what their stories are representing.
Yeah. And of course, it always starts with Carnival.
Starts with Carnival on the 21st of January.
A huge event.
We had over 120,000 people last year. It's wild. We had the best weather the year before, to be honest. It was 38 degrees. So
right.
we hit a sweet spot last year and
yeah.
everyone had a good time. I know
yeah.
Joy was down there and
yeah.
it was a big day. So we're looking forward to entertaining people in the same way down
yeah.
there and building that space.
Now, you're starting a bit later, aren't you? You know, in the month?
No, it usually sits a day. Yeah, it changes a day every year. We're still,
okay.
still in for that. We are starting. We've got another festival within our festival this year. We've got a work called Queer Photo, which is happening out
yes.
in our west. That
yep.
starts on the 27th of February and runs through to the 24th of March. It's no small feat. There's 17 artists across 14 exhibitions and 7 locations. That's the main artist work. And then there's a public program of 35 other events that are free for people to go to out in the west. So we're really, really picking up a huge program there. Some of that work will be represented in the city just as a way for people to explore that a little
right,
bit further
okay.
as well.
We'll be doing covering it a bit here on Sunday Arts Magazine as well.
The Queer
next
Photo?
Year. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's going to be stunning.
Yep.
It really is.
So give us some highlights about what to expect.
So certainly within a braver space, some of the highlights, I guess, are Bloodlines is one by the Huxleys. That was a work that was curating commissioned by Jacob O.M. up
yep.
at World Pride this year. It's a beautiful work that really worships and honours the artists that we've lost to HIV and AIDS. So it's some beautiful, it's a new work, but if you're around in the 90s, some of the imagery really harks back. Its use of colour, the vivid red imagery. What are some of the other? A Beat to Hold Back the Dawn was a work that won the Bundoora Art Prize out of our Midsummer in Australia Post Award that happens in No Vacancy Gallery. Logan's used a lot of high-tech software and gotten a lot of plans for venues of the past and current venues that are used in nightclubs and meeting places. And has done the skeletal, you can actually go there and zoom through these places like the ghosts of the past.
Oh.
it's really there to talk about, I guess, some of the bravery of people that were running clubs in the day where, you know, you had to stay pretty underground and keep your mouth shut and don't let the cameras in.
Yeah.
And hopefully keep the cops out.
Yeah. Where's that?
The Beach of Holbeck Dawn is at Bundura right. Homestead.
Okay.
That one. Another beautiful one that we've been trying to find a home for a couple of years is Homophonic, the Respect Project. So Miranda and her team at Homophonic, always a big seller, sells out at La Mama every year. They've got a piece, an intergenerational piece, where they did some interviews with elders and wrote classical compositions around that, which are really beautiful. Mm. And Dr. Catherine Barrett continues to do their intergenerational work with another piece called Gen K. Again, a series of interviews of elders in regional areas, and then matching them up with youth in our across our communities to try and show kindness towards our elders. So something that I'm really proud of the last few years and the work that we're trying to support is that intergenerational work between our younger and older, as well as work between our communities.
Yeah, and it really is important. Well, the older you get, the more you think to yourself, you know, like, don't forget me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, involving the youth is very important.
I think so. I know what I was like when I opened my club at 24. I didn't, you know, every song I heard, I thought it was, that song had just come out that year. You don't have a sense necessarily of all the history, and you don't need to be encumbered by that history, but it's actually quite exciting. Where at the time when we were doing it, we were just living, doing what you had to do and making the most of situations. I guess looking back on it, you realise how difficult and unsupported some of those things that we did were and our communities were at the time. Yeah. But there are a few people like me, and it was pretty magic spot in the 90s. So I think there's a lot of people still around of that era that partied pretty hard, have different lifestyles now. And I think matching them with youth to understand where we've come from, giving them some tips on where we head. Mm. I remember Ken Payne, who used to run Zipper and Mainframe, always said to me, "You young queens, don't know how easy you got it. You have to keep fighting for what you want." Mm. And that's true, I think, of all of our community.
And I also think that a lot of people say, "Oh, the youth aren't interested," but they are. If you get them, if you don't sort of try to pound them over the head, if you do it with hand in hand, is the key, isn't it?
I think they're so more political than we were in our day. Mm. They're so more connected to the issues that are happening. People are more likely to ask you about your politics when they meet you out, where we weren't that interested that I remember anyway. Mm. Of course, there's always been politically orientated people and a lot of the artists in our community, but no, I think there's groundswells of groups and communities and people in our communities that really come together to support really important causes. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
All right. And what about Pride March? Because it's huge these days, isn't it? You know, it's down here in St Kilda along Fitzroy Street. It goes on for 2 hours or more. And, everyone marches in it now, isn't it? It's engines, ambulances, police.
Everyone.
Trams.
Well, everyone who are members of our community. I guess that's the thing. Mm. You know, there are queer firings, queer police, school kids, big groups. That oval up there, the Ian Johnson Oval, is just teeming and overcrowded with people. When we get there, we've got a little, an extra space.
And trying to find you.
Everyone else in your group, but they all find them. And as you said, it's about, 11 o'clock. It finishes about 1:30 when it all hits Katani Guns. We've got a stage down there. We do a beautiful Welcome to Country. MCs, DJs, acts. Mm. It'll run down there until about 4:30 in the afternoon. So it's a really beautiful celebration.
Yeah, but the thing is, so much activity with the people marching, but the people watching is just as exciting
as
well.
How good is it to watch that sort of swell on the street from, early in the morning, and what a great vantage point you have here. I always love walking past.
Oh, well, I don't have that because I'm marching. So.
Yeah, you're in?
Oh, yeah, I'm in. Yeah.
We'll see you there.
We managed to get the march in just before
we come here and do the show.
How wonderful. Yeah, it's a beautiful day there that continues to honour that legacy, I guess, of where it all started.
Mm. Now, if people want to hear, find out more about what's going on, there must be a website.
Midsummer.org.au. It's got it all on there. Like I said, about 240 events at last count. So everything that you need's on there. We're on sale. We went on sale 2 weeks ago. We've doubled the number of sales of tickets, if you can believe that, within the first week.
And it's really important. It's like the Fringe Festival and... Yeah, like go out there and support those unknown artists that are, putting their own, you know, like heart and soul into this. No, they're not going to make any money out of what they're doing, but what, you know, like go out and support to give them the next step and the confidence to move up the scale of being a performer.
Yeah, well, listen, lots of people making queer stories and telling queer stories, but I would say that people are making money out of it. They did last year. That 50% okay. increase in revenues was just, I've never seen it in a festival I've worked on. So we're hoping that that sets the tone for this year again and that people are really supported. There's so many stories across so many venues and across all of our wonderful hubs, of which the Pride Centre is one as well.
Yeah, of course it is. A big show place nowadays.
Absolutely, yeah. Great event programming through here.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Always good to see you.
My pleasure, and you.
And we'll see you at all the midsummer events.
We'll be in the middle of it right through summer, right across Melbourne.
Good on you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Brendan Cooney, the Midsummer Festival Program Manager here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.